Play the fucking intro.
This is Dustin.
And this is Eric.
And this is SLC Punkcast. Thank you for joining. This is one of two bonus episodes brought to you by Eric.
Yep, brought to you by me. I am at long last doing my top 10 EPs of 2023. And my God, this is something that should have been done a couple months ago. But so much shit was happening all at once. A lot of things just showed up on my plate, and I barely had time to take notes of what I wanted to say about all these wonderful, wonderful releases. But I am here now. And yeah, I am ready to get into it. We'll waste no more fucking time. These are 10 albums, 10 EPs from 10 bands. And I'm going to start right at the bottom. And I am excited to be talking about them.
Excellent. Well, Eric's going to take over from here as they're his releases, not mine.
Not mine. This is the one that, these are the ones that I want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much. How many of these releases we had in common with, that made our list. I think the only one that I think of could be, spoiler alert, the Exposure EP. but yeah, I don't even know.
Right?
Yeah, mostly because I attribute that to your usual go-to taste, as that's a street punk band.
Right. Yeah. I'm typically street punk oi, mix in a little hardcore. That's probably primarily where the majority of mine are going to be.
Yep. Well, mine's going to be a lot of metal-tinged hardcore and some things with different twists and turns. But yeah, there's a lot to go through on this one. Not a lot, but I got a lot to say.
Excellent. Well, Eric's going to take it from here. Eric, get after it.
All right. Let's start right at the bottom. Let's start with number 10. That is the album Scum from Paranoid. Yes, our favorite D-beat / thrash band from Sweden, whose song titles are in Japanese for some reason, have made this list with their newest EP, Scum, S-C-U-M. And no, I still don't know what it stands for. Probably something in Swedish or in Japanese. I don't know. It's really hard to tell with these fucking guys. Anyway, forming in 2012, they composed a sound consistent of the stylings of 80s death thrash, similar to Possessed and early Sepultura. They blackened it up in the style of how Venom once did and played it to the rhythmic structure of Discharge. It's quite a combination. They've had quite a release history in their 14-year tenure as a band. Most recently, a string of singles released mere weeks apart from each other over the course of 2 years. They finally buckled down and released their first EP in 5 years, marking it as their fifth EP. After teasing with a few singles, giving a rough idea of what some implications were to be expected, it delivered with fuzz-coated electric guitars and aggressive classic D-beat groove, solos that even sported such distortion, and vocals so coarse and grimy, further demonstrating the indecipherable nature of such rough music. It sounds like a back-to-basics approach, as it has that basement sound to it. But the band is still as tight as ever, and their various sounds are spotlighted evenly throughout. I need to once again give it to the EP closer, Shimintaki Fufukuju, which is Japanese for civil disobedience. I probably butchered the last word there, but whatever. I'm on the opposite side of the globe. What do you want from me? Anyway, as it greatly personifies everything about their sound. The thrash riffs, the D-beat groove, the grinding vocals, its scathing rough exterior, and beautiful guitar harmonies to offset its consistently brash nature. It's a perfect ending to this EP, rooted in the sounds from three different camps, to be concluded by a track that's exemplary of all three. So here we are with, I'm not going to attempt to say it again, Civil Disobedience by Paranoid. Yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking stoked on Paranoid. And yeah, I can't wait for the next next five or six singles to be released over the next few years. So Paranoid, you got it going on. I want more. I want damn more. And I'm sure you'll deliver. Anyway, that's number 10. Moving on to number 9, we have our Salt Lake City's own D-Horn and their EP Devoured. D-Horn, conceived in 2020 by Swarmer's Chris Clement, the debut EP carries a lot of the same elements what Chris's has over the years from playing in hardcore-stricken metal bands. It's got chunky riffs, it's got bludgeoning breakdowns, and intonated leads. But he also uses the same techniques you hear in industrial outfits. A lot of samples, sound swells, reverb, electronic passages, and effects to digitize the guitar sounds. And it's all instrumental. In the opening track, there's an audio clip of the opening scene from Night of the Living Dead playing over these cavernous sound swells before passing into the next song, Partially Devoured. And it's met with dancey tempo... techno beats before a brief pause for just to hear that coming to get you, Barbara, and then breaking into some hammering riffs, being stopped abruptly to give way for more techno dance parts. As the EP plays out, you hear more audio clips from Night of the Living Dead, and with the track titles like Partially Devoured, The Cellar, and Safe Space, you can get the idea that this EP is basically their soundtrack for the scenes in the movie from what the title is referring and where the clips are taken. If you've seen the movie, then you'd agreed that the music does match the tone of each scene. A Safe Place stays at a pretty slow pace and gives a sort of somber tone, but doesn't shy away from more crushing moments to signify that, yes, while you may be safe at the moment, the danger is still lurking outside. And The Cellar is just pretty chaotic altogether. And this is the scene in the movie where the zombies break into the house, which is their hiding place, and they head straight into the cellar, trapping the individuals hiding within. And Damned to Hell is basically the aftermath, while also recalling the audio clip from the previous songs. Now, if you've seen the movies, you know that the first one, they may have beaten this horde of zombies, but the war has just begun. And that's what I think this last song represents. And the song that I think is best is Partially Devoured. The sheer intensity, the chaos, the unpredictability, and the sudden mood swings between all the riffs and tempo changes, it really sets the scene for what's to come in this EP. And much like the opening scene in Night of the Living Dead sets the scene for what's to come of a zombie franchise. So here we are with Partially Devoured.
I have seen you in church lately. remains. Government spokesman warned.
So there you go. There's more to come with that. I hope there's more to come actually after this EP. You know, maybe you got through Night of the Living Dead. Now we need Dawn of the Dead. Or maybe they'll just go into a different franchise altogether. But yeah, if this is the sort of MO that D-Horn will be doing, I'm excited for it. I look forward to the next release, guys. And I look forward to the next... the number eight spot, the number eight spot here on my list. Number eight is Endless Torment by Dead Heat. And yeah, I've talked about this EP a little bit once last May in episode 317, talking about the single, the title track single. And then I did, one last August in episode 328. It was their single Eyes of the Real. Now, Dead Heat is carrying the flag for crossover in the 2020s after staking their starting point in 2016 in Oxnard, and have since released two albums and two EPs, counting this one. And this bad boy is just dripping with 80s thrash goodness. The riffs, the leads, the vocals, the sheer energy, right down to the cover art of the figure in the... where the figure in the front looks like a decrepit version of Megadeth's Vic Rattlehead, ripping the melted flesh off of his face, off of his skull. And the title track, which opens the album, it starts with some ominous bass swells along with the sound of a blade being sharpened. And before long, some riffs come crashing in and lead into the downpicking cavalcade that structures this song's main riff. It moves with a lot of groove and harmonizing leads and a breakdown that will surely get heads banging. Eyes of the Real is incredibly brooding with its stomping rhythms and chanting chorus, giving it the feeling of like a death march before a swift switch in tempo turns it into a full frontal assault, as if the captain just shouted charge. And the breakdown just gives me the vision of axes coming down on all these enemies' necks while the surrounding brawl just mirrors such brutality in different capacities. Anyway, Tears of the Wolf has an opening guitar melody that rings with Eddie Van Halen energy. I mean, with the reverb and tone and overall structure, it reminds me of the song Panama. You know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, Panama. Yeah, it does break into thrash riffing, but the sort of softer guitar playing finds its way back in between the brutality. And at the end of the song, Chris serenades us out in a sort of power ballad style. Yeah, on this record, they seem to be dipping into 80s music just beyond just thrash. The song Hard Reset is also exemplary of such a statement, as it starts off with an acoustic intro that's more symbolic to when thrash metal bands were being pressured by the labels to write softer music. For example, Testament's The Ballad. However, it doesn't stay that course, and much like Metallica's Fight Fire with Fire, the acoustic opener is just a fake-out, as it just erupts with riffs after some time. But let's get to the point. If you're here just to turn off your brain and bang your head to some pure crossover, no frills, no experiments, just speed and aggression, then you'll want Smite Thee. It's got a disgustingly fast verse and a thunderous chorus with a ripping solo in between, and it's just a simple build like most punk songs. Intro, verse, chorus. Verse, chorus, outro, done. It's that simple. Now, this could have easily been a meat and potatoes thrash record, and it would have went over all right, but in just five songs, Dead Heat is showing some musical progression. And I look forward to what they have in store next. Which brings us to number seven. Lucky number seven, this lucky EP. I can't even call it lucky. It's holy. It's the holiest damn EP on this goddamn list. And all I have to say is, hail Cancer Christ. Yeah, Cancer Christ. When have I not talked about them? Their EP that came out last year, the predecessor to their album that came out this year, Satan is a Bitch. He's a total bitch. And yeah, I have talked about Cancer Christ to death in the last year, but I can't help it. They just have consistently put out such awesome material that led up to their LP, God is Violence. And yeah, that came out in January. I talked about that album to death, and yeah, probably will later on. It's said material were a strain of singles, and this here EP, Satan is a Bitch. After the opening chants of Hail Christ in the intro of the same name, but with the Roman numerals of three at the end, it kicks into the title track with glitching guitar leads before just blasting away as Anthony yells about comparing Satan, or rather his surrogates, to those conservative bootlickers who sport Blue Lives Matter flags on their pickup trucks in which they make rant videos wearing their trucker caps and pit vipers about how we need more guns and less Mexicans. But he goes further in saying that if they really are the demons, they will fuck a corpse for fun. Wherein lies the hook, a corpse for fun. Satan's a bitch. I love that song. That one was refurbished, resurrected, if you will, for their God is Violence LP. It's a great song. And I already played it before. Anyway, the other song on this record, and the one that I really want to talk about, is Dear God Death Squad. It is full of rambunctious blast beats, cantankerous riffs, and sickening intonated chords, while Anthony revives his holy prerogative from the previous song and how all those that aren't blessed are just sycophantic scum and will embark on a crusade in his name to annihilate cops, politicians, libtards, alt cucks, children in Afghanistan. No one is safe from his wrath. Their words, not mine. So yeah, Dear God Death Squad, prepare for the fucking war. God damn it, Cancer Christ, I fucking love you. I love you, Christ. So, to close out the EP is Hail Christ 4, and it's just 1 minute of noise spliced together with riffs and leads while Bible verses are recited in reverse. The lyrics even say backmasking Bible bullshit. And I even made a joke that, like, the hidden track of a Cancer Christ album would be like just Bible verses played backwards, making fun of the fact that if you spin a Kiss record or an AC/DC record backwards, you will hear satanic messages. Well, this time, if you spin it backwards, you will get actual quotes from the Bible. It's pretty funny. I don't know what verses are being quoted. Maybe it's all the fucked up parts of the Bible. I think that'd be funny. Just to kind of continue on with the motif. But yeah, Cancer Christ, I mean, if you don't know by now, I really like these guys. And yeah, God is Violence is already my favorite LP that was put out this year. It's on my list, so I will be talking about them again. But I'm gonna wait a little while, you know, let Christ sleep a little bit, you know. He'll come back. All right. So onward, number 6, we get Ankle Biter, To Live and Withstand. This is the debut EP of these so-proclaimed Northwest straight edgers. It displays such vibrant nods to thrash and old-school hardcore grit, solos, circle pit riffs, and breakdowns, pulsating with lyrics about personal hardships and jabs toward people no longer held in high regard, just shooting out of Rachel Braverman's mouth. And she has a ridiculously destructive voice. I talked about the song Catharsis in episode 321 as it was and still is my favorite song on this EP. I love the simple riffs. I love the crushing blows from the breakdowns. And Rachel's vicious vocal attack on one such individual who fucks over people for their own gain. However, I did also mention how Pearl came in at a close second. So here's paying my respects to Pearl. It hits the ground sprinting with feral ambition and scales back to a hip-swiveling groove in the chorus, allowing Rachel's voice to emanate on its own. And the lyrics are as scathing as ever, as it reads and sounds like a harsh reality check to a loved one destroying their lives with alcohol, as well as the ones of those around them who care about them. But they're all verbalized concerns falling on deaf ears. Well, my ears aren't deaf, but they fucking will be after playing this fucker full blast. So here is Pearl. What else can I say? It's great knowing that hardcore of such a simple design still has some power behind it. And Ankle-Biter has a lot of it. And I hope that tank doesn't run dry. All right. And now that brings us to the top five. Top five is where we're getting the best of the best, people. And this is where we're also going to be playing two songs per choice here. Because, like I said, this is the best of the best, and I feel like they should be spotlighted a little more. So, coming in at number five, God Collider and their EP, Unhallowed Blasphemies. So, yeah, founded in L.A. after singer Todd Cooper denounced his Christian beliefs and distanced himself from the church, he uses what he learned while in the church to throw it back in its collective face in the form of metal-flavored hardcore. And it's in their two EPs where such blasphemy exists. They're self-titled in 2018 and this one. They are sort of a mix of Integrity and Hatebreed while also riffing away like Slayer or Death. The opening track, Perihelion, starts off with descending chromatic riffs with snare-rattling blast beats, and Todd sings on about rejecting the teachings of his secularly submerged youth. It transcends back and forth with groove and speed and riffs and leads, harnessing them together. The title track has a chonky groove that reminds me of old school Hatebreed. It stays the course of long riffs until the chorus switches to more rolling rhythms while keeping the tempo the same. In the Absence of Justice is far more jumpy. The drums won't settle down. That doesn't mean the song isn't catchy with its chants that revive. Let me try that again. That doesn't mean the song isn't catchy with its chants that revive themselves periodically. And Pinned Down stays the course with more bludgeoning riffs and beats to match with sinister sweeps, pulsating in between each hammering chord. It even adds some softer melodic segments while not losing any brutality. All the while in between, it holds some classic death metal chromatic scales, and the lyrics are all about the secular browbeating had endured, being that he couldn't meet the standards beset upon him. It was in part to the fact that he subconsciously could have been rejecting it all at the time, and it wasn't until after he'd gotten away from it that he could allow those tendencies to be released. Well, that's what I think. So, here is Pinned Down.
alternating negative health and needed hip trauma. It's a difficult environment that you don't deal with the bodybuilding and to attempt that it would be stronger than we are.
That's one song to really get you going and burn that cross. Okay, maybe not burn the cross, just burn the Bible. There you go. You burn the Bible. At least one of those means that you're burning one of those proves that you're not racist, I guess. Just forget what I said. The other song that I have to point out for this one, I have to bring it back to Ground Clean. The opening riff. They have these creeping scales you could easily hear from any standard death metal song, but it changes course for more punk rhythms and simple power chords. While Todd belts out the opening lyric, holding out on one note before pulling back to hardcore barks, the lyrics pertain to being betrayed by someone whom you trusted, and now you have to clean up their mess. It's metal enough for the headbangers and hardcore enough for the floor punchers. It's Obituary meets Hatebreed, and we are all the better for it. Yeah, the ground is clean now because all the dirt ran away from you constantly punching it. I'm really into God Collider. I think they've got one of the better fucking metallic hardcore EPs that came out just in this past year. But there is one that stands above it. Maybe two. But this one especially. This is my homies in Social Stigma who put out the most poignant, provocative, and politically acidic records from SLC last year. And that one was Class Warfare. They thread together their views on exploitation of people's trauma for monetary gain, the class struggle, and the waning respect for modern workers, overproduction of our resources, and trans rights, women's rights, reproduction rights, along with voice clips of speeches from commentators and activists for whichever subject the song is about. All with coarse guitar riffs, with scratching diminished chords, and yells and screams, courtesy of Barrett Fine, their lead singer, who is awesome, by the way. Such a delivery is displayed on their song, Proportional Escalations of Violence. Rolls right off your tongue, does it? With the evil riffs and scathing chaos chords and shattering breakdowns that is equally proportional, if you will, to the rage being emitted from Barrett's slaughterhouse vocals and the lyrics that formulate in the process. Those lyrics are about the environmental struggle and its direct ties to capitalism, how the corporate infrastructure strips so much of the Earth's natural resources in the name of progress, and just to make sure that their profit margin works to their advantage. Barrett's call to arms comes in right before the breakdown. Burn down every billionaire's mansion. Replenish the Earth with their blood and steel. Oh, that is super metal. So, yeah, brutal on all fronts. I fucking love this song, and I hope you love it too. Let's find out if you do.
See, that's another thing. When you talk about a revolution, most people think violence. Without realizing that the real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles and the goals that you're striving for, not in the way you reach them. On the other hand, because of the way this society is organized, because of the violence that exists on the surface everywhere, you have to expect that there are going to be such explosions.
That's one taste of the Social Stigma. And there's plenty of tasteful 90s-style hardcore coursing through this EP, such as what we just heard. But the pivotal point that escapes me is the song Choice. Everything about this song stands out in the best way. The music isn't focused on their distinct style of slamming riffs over groovy rhythmic passages, and it turns on key to a more punk rock structure. They cry out for justice for women's rights and that their choice to carry a child should ultimately be theirs. And Emma Anderson, the lead singer of NARC, comes in and screams those final lyrics. And I talked about how I love Emma's vocals. They are just so fucking vicious. And, you know, coming from a pint-sized figure as herself, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to see that. So yeah, this is the song Choice, probably my favorite one off of this EP. Let's listen.
It doesn't change the fundamental fact that we as individual Americans are going to make decisions over our own physical selves. And as long as a fetus is dependent upon the heart and vessels and, you know, systems of someone else, then that someone has a right to make that decision. Of course, women were not mentioned this was not mentioned in the Constitution because women weren't mentioned in the Constitution. But the principle of democracy is a very precious one, and it upholds the right for men and women to make decisions over our own physical beings.
I'm so happy that these guys are officially a solid band with, you know, after all those lineup changes and and all that bullshit, but they've still fucking killed it. They are fucking killing it. Even more so now with the concise lineup, and this EP is emblematic of their accomplishments. So Barrett, Adrian, Cole, Sean, fucking love you guys. Love what you're doing. Do not stop. I don't think you're planning on stopping. Okay. Now, there's one hardcore EP that stands above those two aforementioned, and it takes my number three spot, the band Street Power, their EP, Threads of Hate. Holy shit, talk about hardcore done right. Breaking out of Boston, this band founded by Chris Cesarini became the vessel for him to flex his skills as a frontman, naming themselves after what they conceived as the most apt moniker for the protests happening in and around Boston at the time of conception. It's not only a cool name, but is a general statement of the band's overall belief to fight for what you believe in. After a few test singles, their first EP after their demo, we land here with their latest EP, Threads of Hate. I've never talked about this EP in full disclosure other than the song I really like from it. And my protest that it's an EP despite its track total, but more because the time length is not even 20 minutes. Come on, that's a fucking EP, man. That's just my opinion. And that's why it's on this list and not in my top LPs. The EP has a boatload of singers from other bands offering up their services, but the song I'd like to feature is the only one, sans the intro, that doesn't have a surprise guest, and that song is Rotten. It just kicks in with pure hardcore aggression, with ferocious riffs plundering with rapidity and lyrics striking with animosity at an ex-girlfriend who was an addict and dragged him down with her, all delivered in 90 seconds, starting now. Great, fucking great. Love the ferocity. Now, there are features on here that really add to the nature of the beast. Members of Instigate, Risk, Peace Test, and Buried Dreams, as well as Colin of Arabia, whose song was featured on the one when I talked about it in the previous episode where I talked about these guys. Well, you know what I mean. They all hold their own in this record, but the closing track featuring members of The World really hammers it home for me. That song, Pay the Price, just emotes ferocity with its brutal riffs and crushing beats, and every vocalist spitting some rage-filled lines in the plight of the lower working class, and how the grind is pushing them so far to the point that they will kill their fucking boss. Well, I Hate God said it first, but it still rings true across the board. So here we are, the song Pay the Price from Street Power.
I'll work circles around you. I'll wrap your fucking head in with a ratchet.
Huh?
You don't have anybody down there that works like me.
Oh, yeah?
That's right.
Okay?
All so right. I'll see you tomorrow with my tools, fuckface.
Thank you. on the devil every day of my life. Paycheck to paycheck, no end in sight. Every day's the same, every day's a fucking fight. By my hand, you will pay the price. Oh. With my hands to the bone, you basket fucking bliss. We are not the same, I'm out here drowning in this shit. Next time I punch off the clock, I swear they're fucking it. Get you in the parking lot, your head on fucking split. Make you mad with your lack of respect. The clock is back, time has come to collect. All my dreams are dead, being dead. There's a build of brains crashing down on your fucking head. Born into nothing, there's no hope in this life. Living every day in this lower class strife.
Murders on my conscience, I ain't getting in heaven. Someone's trapping, get my house is like a 7-Eleven. 38, by my belly, put your ass in the dirt. Got some killers riding with me, put a bitch on the shirt.
Make you mad with your lack of respect. Come is come to collect.
Tell me all you want, hey, tell me all you want. Let's go feel my brother. You don't wanna feel pain. You don't wanna stay alone. This is how it's gonna be, motherfucker. So put yourself in danger. No one's thinking you're not. Don't invest in peace. So now you're paying the price.
Damn. That's pure Boston rage right there. Nice to know that there's still enough hatred and anger in the world to invoke such brutality. And there you go. That's my number three spot. So that does it for about all the hardcore records that came out last year that I love. But what about the punk records? Well, the one that really stood out to me, the best punk EP of 2023, Overexposure's Strive to Survive. Overexposure is Brian Doria's brainchild, and he's swinging with their follow-up EP to their 2021 LP, California 98. Now, Strive to Survive, this is six songs of that sweet street punk aggression we all know and love. They have six ferocious songs that I'll touch on something different. We have Dead to Me, about cutting ties with those taking advantage of you for their personal gain. Read the Signs questions what those who've dedicated their lives to religious decree fear to question. Panic is about exactly that. Letting anxiety halt you from just making decisions in general. And Twisted Teeth is about the echo chamber that comes in the form of political parties and the stances they take. Basically, every side thinks that they're right. It was difficult to pick a favorite track for this one, let alone two, as all of them have muscle. Upon my initial review of this EP back in episode 346, I chose Dead to Me, as it hit me the most, given my current situation with sycophantic individuals, and I still stand by that song and its message and overall maniacal behavior, but this is a chance for me to touch on my other favorites. The first is Get Out. Aside from the lyrics, I love how tight the guitars are with the heavy riffs and the dreamy leads that remind me of Paint It Black. It's got such manic energy behind it, and it melds well with the lyrics so well. Get ready. Get out.
I know you want it more. fucking phone. The lights been cut, can't even hear a fucking tone. I'm trying to get out the door, and then I'll send you one more. Maybe tomorrow, yeah, I've used that one before. I know, what's the color I throw? And I know you're wanting more. Let's go, get off the floor.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. Now, the other song that needs more attention is Inside Your Mind. Inside Your Mind. Now, we all have bouts of hesitancy that invade our minds. Only here, it sounds like what happens when the dam breaks and you just go on a spree of just making up for all the shit you missed out on because your anxiety held you back. He's physically assaulting whatever it is. So let's have fun watching this brawl. This is Inside Your Mind. I can't get enough of this EP. I'm really hyped about these guys and what they've got in store. As I said at the top of this section, it's the best punk EP of 2023. But now we've come to the end. That's the best punk EP, but what is the best EP? Well, for me, the best EP, I would have to say, is going to go to Dawn of Decline by Slingshot. The reason why this is my number one is because it isn't genre specific. Slingshot, in a style similar to that of King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard, have dabbled in various genres, but have had it filtered through, they've had it filtered through their style to fit the molding of it. they've thrown themselves through the meddlings of indie rock and just straight acoustic music, body music, and also hip hop, and have made it all sound like, yeah, have made it all sound acute to their distinct style. They are a punk, hardcore, garage rock, and alt rock band, and they just somehow make all of it their own. I'm speaking, of course, specifically about this EP. They also released last year a split EP with the band Split Image, whose guitarist Chris Sia oversaw the production of this record and was featured as a guest on the song Night of a Thousand Tears. Now, this song showcases Chris's and the main vocalist Shira's boxing back and forth between his hardcore yells and her sultry, ethereal vocals. It's complementary to the music, as the structure of the song is a very hardcore build, but the sound is very 1960s. It's like Motor City Garage Rock, with a reverb overtone making it sound dreamy. It's very similar to the sounds you'd hear from a Drug Church album, or even the latest Turnstile record. This whole setup is a conundrum and sounds like a disaster waiting to happen, but trust me, you'll hear it, and you'll know that I am right. See what I mean? But that's not all. In Colombian Supremo, Armand, their bassist, shows off his funk chops in the intro with along with these psych-driven guitar passages aside from its urgent garage punk focal points. Its Turbo Time holds some blues scale dependency and broken guitar riffs in a groovy rhythm that complements She-Ra's tox singing in the verses. And Street Cat Bob stays pretty straightforward in its 60s rock approach, mixing a psych ambiance with garage aggression, matching She-Ra's beautiful melodic vocals and guitarist Dylan Baumgartner's rallying yells. But I really have to give it to the first song you hear on this record, Calamity Ganon. as it eases you in with its lo-fi intro, but goes into riffing and drum patterns that sound like they should be heavy, well, like they should be heavy, but aren't quite so. And it runs that gamut like all the pieces are there for this to be a truly brutal song, but isn't realized in the way you'd expect it to be. Tie that in with She-Ra serenading you with sultry vocals while Dylan offsets it with call-outs and harsh rallying chants. It showcases what you're going to get with these guys as you get the juxtaposing musical counterparts and the humor that ensues, particularly at the end, as it's Dylan shouting, "Get what I mean, hear me scream, get how I feel." But the two closing words really drive home the punchline. To find out, you gotta listen till the end. Not God damn it, Slingshot. You guys were such a pleasant surprise for me last year. I'm stoked that I got to see you play with Split Image when you were here last what was it, September, November, somewhere around there. And yes, I wait with bated breath to see what's ahead with your future releases. Speaking of which, they currently have a newly released single, 157 AM, and it signifies that they aren't straying too far from their current style. And for that, we thank you. But we'll just have to see where it goes from there. So there you go, folks. Those still are my 10 favorite EPs from 2023. I do have to give a few shout outs, though, some runners up, if you will. Three that I had to give a shout out to. One is Absolved at the Close, Salt Lake's saviors for melodic hardcore punk. I think they are fucking great. I love the songs on there, but some of them just didn't hit the same points as my favorite one, Thrill House. Thrill House is my favorite song on that record, and it's not to say the other three were bad. Far from it, they were good, but I feel like I could have had a bit more. And also, I got to give it to Snuff Tape, The Devil's Work. Yes, Snuff Tape's everyone's favorite beatdown band in Salt Lake. They fucking kill it. And yeah, I've gone on record saying how I have a pretty selective hearing with the beatdown I listen to, and I have there's only so much that I can take in one sitting, but that EP was enough for me to to enjoy it. And they had a little twists and turns going into a bit of the new metal realm, and I appreciate that about them. So yeah, check it out if that's your vibe. And finally, I got to hand it to our boys in Wrath of Gods, their Death Above, Chaos Around, and Hell Inside. Pretty cool title. It sort of reminds me of how Discharge did it. Hear nothing, say nothing, see nothing, do nothing, eat nothing. So, Wrath of Gods, they're from California. They put out some pretty blistering metal-tinged hardcore music. And also in the band, some of the members were in prior, Burn Infinite, also a good band. I talked about that song on an episode last year. And they're good at what they do. Just not a lot of standouts on this EP, but it is worth listening to. All these songs are worth listening to. All these EPs are worth listening to. Check out any of these bands. If you heard what you liked, then there's plenty more where that came from. So, folks, thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for still having some interest to click on this and stream it out of sheer curiosity. I appreciate that about you. So, next week we will have I will have released my top 10 LPs from 2023. And there's a lot of good shit to get through on there. So until next time, thank you for listening. And that's all I got to say. Happy New Year. We're in the middle of the new year now, but I hope you're having a good one. See ya.